And I'd like for us this morning, in the time we have remaining, just to look at one mother who certainly God wanted to single out for a very special task. And as Andrew read these verses to us this morning in Luke chapter 1, I'd like for us to look at, just briefly, at the life of Mary and say to you this morning that you can be a mom that God can use. How can you do that? How can you be the kind of mom that God can use today and every day? I find it interesting that as God went and made his choice to speak to Mary through an angel, he went down to a little town called Nazareth. Now, Nazareth had a bad reputation. It was not necessarily the biggest town or the greatest town or the most holy place to live in. And he chose a young woman who was possibly barely a teenager. And he tapped her on the shoulder and chose her to be the mother of Jesus. Now, there are two times in our text that Gabriel says that she was highly favored of God. Now, what made her highly favored? And even more so, ask the question this morning, what can make you a mom that God can use? And I'd like to share with you this morning two things. God can use you because of what you already have, and God can use you because of what he knows you can become. Now, let's look at that together. First of all, God can use you because of what you already have. Now, this means moms and dads. Now, when Gabriel visited Mary, Mary was greatly troubled, it says. Now, Mary must have been a little bit on edge anyway, because it's no mean feat to stand there and listen when an angel is talking to you. All the time in the scripture, when we read about an angel visiting someone, usually it was a very frightening experience. And Mary must have been a little bit on edge anyway, because an angel was speaking to her. After all, she was engaged to Joseph at the time. Engagements in that day were much more serious than they are today. And this unique pregnancy that the angel was telling her about presented some very troubling possibilities for her. One is the fact that she may be rejected by Joseph. Another one is that she ran the risk of raising a child all by herself. She jeopardized her reputation in her hometown. And she even risked her very life in knowing that she was going to be pregnant without a husband. Now, not to mention the fact that Mary could have felt very insecure, unworthy, and insufficient for the great task of being the mother of the Son of God. She could have said, "Lord, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not educated. I come from this town of Nazareth that people look down on. I'm too young for this. I don't have the abilities. I can't do this, Lord. Why are you picking me?" And yet that's not what Mary said, is it? Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said," as she said in verse 38. Now, Mary had the right perspective, and that's what I'd like to share with you this morning, is that God can use moms who have the right perspective. You have the right perspective. Now, Mary knew who God was. She called him the Lord Almighty, the God Most High. She knew her place before God. She knew that God was sufficient, and she knew that God could do and say whatever he wanted to do. And she also knew who she was. Robert shared this morning about his mom being a servant. And Mary knew that she was a servant as well. Mary was God's servant, and she knew that nothing was impossible for those who are God's servants. Nothing at all. If God could work it, if God, the Lord wanted to give her the task of raising the Son of God, then she would accept it. And Mary had a proper perspective about God and about herself, and she also had the right perspective about her role as a mother. She saw it as an honor, as a blessing. Now, in chapter 1 of Luke, this section that we often call the Song of Mary is recorded for us. And in this, she says how she rejoices, how she's so happy that she has this great blessing from God of being a mother. That God has done something wonderful in her life, and he's given her something that is so special. She saw motherhood as a gift. She saw it as an honor before the Lord. Now, mothers today, like Mary, need to have the proper perspective. They too are servants of God. They're servants of God in all things, and especially in raising God's children, of which, in a great sense, in a global sense, as it were, we all are God's children because we are all knit by God in our mother's wombs. The Scripture tells us that we are created by God in our mother's wombs, and therefore we are, in that sense, children of God. And as our mothers raise us, they have a wonderful blessing of having us there before them. Now, you may feel at times overwhelmed and inadequate for the task, but moms, you need to realize, like Mary, that nothing is impossible with God. Now, notice the text doesn't say, the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. It doesn't say nothing is impossible for God, although that's true. That's absolutely true. But it says nothing is impossible with God. When God is with us, nothing is impossible. Now, there may be times when your children frustrate you. We heard some very nice stories this morning about the wonderful things that these children see in their mother's lives. But I dare say that in these families, in all of our families, there are times when our children frustrate us. There are times when it's difficult. Make you want to pull your hair out. Or better yet, maybe you want to pull their hair out. But moms and dads, children are a gift from God, are they not? They are a gift from God. And it's an honor that God entrusts them to your care. Think about it. Psalm 127 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. They are a true blessing. That's true. Children are a blessing. Now, God the Father looked with favor upon Mary because she had the proper perspective. She'd viewed herself first and foremost as a servant of God. She believed that nothing was impossible, and she saw motherhood as an honor. But another reason that God looked upon Mary with favor is because she had a solid foundation. That's the second thing. Moms, God can use you because you have a solid foundation. Now, in God's eyes, there's only one solid foundation, and that's Jesus Christ himself and his word. That's the foundation that we build upon. Jesus said, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts upon them. He said, you are building upon a firm and strong foundation when you do that. When you come to me, when you believe on me, when you hear my words, and when you act upon them. He said, that's the right foundation to build upon. How do we know that Mary had a solid foundation? Well, chapter 1, if we read on verses 46 and onwards, that little section that I've referred to as Mary's song, there are at least 10 or 15 references to the Old Testament in there. She quotes time and time again the wonders and the glories of God. She understood the Scriptures. It's evident that she knew them. It's evident that she had been raised in a place where the Scriptures were taught and that she believed them. Mary knew the Word. But not just that. If you read that song, if you read that passage, you realize here is a woman who was completely unashamed in worshiping God. Completely unashamed. She was enthusiastic about her praise for God. She recognized that God was the mighty one, the one who feeds the hungry, the one who does great things for us. And she sang out. She gave this song, this great poem of praise that we have here for us in the Scriptures. Mary was a worshiper of God, someone who loved him dearly and deeply. Now, Mary's foundation is an example to mothers today, because a mother who praises and knows her God is going to make a great difference in the lives of her children. One who knows God and walks with God, praises him, and is unashamed of walking with God, worshiping him, and praising him is going to make a tremendous difference in the lives of her children. She's going to plant seeds that will one day bear fruit. Psalm 78, let me read a section from there. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. We will not conceal them from our children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation yet to come might know, even the children yet to be born. We're talking about 3, 4, 5 generations down the road, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God. And we see this example worked out in the life of Timothy when Paul reminds him. He said, I see this as what your mother and grandmother instilled in you when you were growing up, that from a young child you knew the Scriptures that you had a mother and a grandmother who loved God, worshiped Him, and honored His Word. Mothers, how solid is your foundation today? Can you stand on that foundation? Do you understand who God is? Do you have His Word hidden in your heart? Do you know His Word well enough to pass it on to your children? Do you set a good example of one who loves and is unashamed to worship and honor the Lord Jesus? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. A long time ago, God chose a young girl to give birth to the Lord Jesus. And God chose Mary because of what she already had. She had the right perspective and she had a solid foundation. And these are two qualities that all godly mothers need to have today if they want God to look upon them with favor. But God also looked on Mary with favor because He knew what she would become. And God can use you, moms and dads, because He knows what you will become. He knows that. Now, mothers have a natural instinct to protect their young, don't they? Bill McDonald once said that mothers and fathers, parents, they will be lambs in their own defense, but lions in the defense of their own, their children. It seems like this instinct, this idea, this desire to protect those children, your children, is something that's hardwired into us at creation. It even actually goes beyond human relationships. We see it in the animal world as well. But it's very pronounced, very marked. And most of the time, motherhood and protection, those two ideas go together. They are completely inseparable. Now, God can use moms who are unrelenting in their protection. Unrelenting. Now, Mary protected the physical life of Jesus. This may not have occurred to you before, but think about it for just a minute. From the very moment that Jesus was born, His life was in mortal danger. The angel came to Joseph and told him that the child's life was in danger, that King Herod wanted to kill him. And so he said, you need to run away. You need to get away to Egypt. And so out of protection, Mary and Joseph took the child, Jesus, and they went away to Egypt. Mary protected her son. Mary protected Jesus from Herod and from some of the other things that would harm him. But she also protected Jesus' identity. Now, Mary knew who Jesus was because she was in on what God was doing and saying from the very beginning. She knew that this was no ordinary human being, that this was the Son of God. This was someone very special, very unique in all of history being born into her life. Now, though Mary knew who Jesus was, she wasn't like I was and like my wife is, and I'm sure many of you, she didn't go around bragging about all the things that her son could do. Were you at the wedding last week at Cana? Did you see what my son did? Only turned water into wine. Mary didn't go around bragging about what her son could do. Rather, what does it say? Several times in the New Testament it says, Mary what? She treasured up these things in her heart. She thought about them. She pondered them. She set them aside. She recognized that this was not God's timing yet, and that for her to be too much up front with who her son was and what God was doing through His divine Son, that it may put His life in jeopardy. She protected His identity. Now, there were a number of people who were given momentary glimpses of the nature of Jesus Christ. You think about Simeon and Anna and the shepherds at the Annunciation when Jesus' birth was announced. These people were given a glimpse of the divine. Now, but Mary treasured these things. It says the word actually means that she treasured them up. She kept them hidden and put them away like a hidden treasure in her heart. Now, any other course of action would have certainly endangered Jesus' life because God had an appointed time for Jesus' public ministry. And Mary was unrelenting in her protection. Moms, Your children need your unrelenting protection as well, don't they? Now, for most mothers, this instinct is very strong. It's very natural. Mothers will risk their own lives to save their children, to help them, to keep them from harm. Now, this need is especially obvious when they're very young. To protect your children against germs, against electrical outlets, poisons, stoves. This is why my wife would never allow our son Matthew to drive his tricycle down the stairs. He couldn't understand why that was wrong. Now, as your child grows, they still need your protection. They may be able to handle the stairs. They may be able to keep their hands off the stoves. But we all know that there are dangers that are very real that exist for our children today. And they grow. They are dangers that may not harm the body, but they can kill the soul. And parents, moms, they need your protection. Now, your child may not always want your protection. They may not always appreciate your protection. They may resent it. They may not enjoy it. But my point is this. Moms and dads, do not stop parenting and mothering when it becomes difficult. Because it may be that that's the very time of life when your children need it the most. Mary was unrelenting in her protection of Jesus, and I believe that pleased God. And I think God expects all mothers to do the same for their children. God looked with favor upon Mary because he knew she would be unrelenting in her protection. But he also knew that she would be unwavering in her love and in her devotion. God can use you moms who will be unwavering in your love and your devotion. Now, Mary's love and her devotion for her son Jesus began before he was born, and it went on until after he died, after the cross. It continued on. Now, the first picture we have of Mary is of a young girl in Nazareth, engaged to Joseph. We know that story. And the final picture we see of Mary is that of an older woman, perhaps with a little bit of gray hair, perhaps showing the years of care and toil, the years of struggle. You know where the last picture of Mary is in the New Testament? It's not at the cross, although Mary was there with Jesus at the cross. It's not at Gethsemane. It's not any of those places. It's actually after that in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. It says this, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. 30 years later, there's Mary. She's still there. She's right where she's supposed to be. And Jesus is still the center of her affection and her attentions. Mary's love and her devotion for Jesus is unquestionable. Now, you might be thinking, and this thought occurred to me as well, but Jesus must have been pretty easy to love. Jesus was not Roger Raybuck. Jesus was not Aaron Ascension. Excuse me, Aaron. He must have been pretty easy to love. After all, he was the Son of God. He was perfect. He came here to give his life a ransom for many. It must have been easy to love Jesus. That's true. It was easy to love Jesus. But loving Jesus was not easy. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Remember what the old prophet Simeon said to Mary as she presented her month-old baby boy at the temple. He said this, "This child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce even your own soul." Now, Mary's soul was pierced many times because of her love for her son Jesus. When she had to run away to Egypt because of King Herod seeking his life. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went on a trip to Jerusalem, and Jesus disappeared for 3 days. Moms? You call in the sheriff's department? What are you doing? Jesus was missing for 3 days. They were looking for him for 3 days. They were searching everywhere for him. His mother didn't know whether he was alive or dead, and she found him in the temple with the learned men discussing things with him. And he said, "Didn't you realize I had to be about my father's business?" That must have stunned. I believe a sword pierced Mary's side when those kinds of things happened. Another occasion is recorded for us in Mark chapter 3. The respected leaders in Jerusalem said, "This man has a demon. This man is nuts. He's crazy. He's out of his mind." Moms, how would you feel about that? Your oldest son. The teachers at school and the community leaders say, "Well, your son is insane." I'm sorry, Mary. Your son probably needs to be committed. He's crazy. Even worse, in John 7, we read about not only the community leaders, but the members of his own family refused to believe him and wanted nothing to do with him. Can you imagine what that was like around the dinner table? And then there was that dark Friday, wasn't there? When Mary had to watch her son being led out and be stripped and beaten and put on the cross. As she watched them do that, I assure you that Mary's soul was pierced. Sure, Jesus was easy to love, but loving Jesus was not easy. Yet Mary's love and her devotion was unwavering. When others mistreated Jesus, when they denied him, when they turned away from him, when they said he was crazy, he knew his mother wouldn't. Even at the cross, she was one of the few people that was there. Mothers, may you have the same kind of love and devotion for your children that Mary had for her son. I will say that, mothers, I believe that your soul may be pierced because of the love for your children. There may come a time in your life when your soul is pierced because of your love for your children. The road may get very difficult by the things that happen to them when they're hurt, when they're injured, when they're sick, when they're betrayed. Moms, your soul may be pierced by that. Your soul might be pierced by what they do. They may live a life that goes against everything that you hold dear. They may even rebel against you and reject your love. But even then, your love and your devotion needs to be unwavering. You do not have to condone all they do in order to love them unconditionally. Unconditional love does not mean condoning sin, but it does mean being an example of the Lord Jesus and of his Father to our children. Well, let me leave you with this thought. Much of what our children see and know of God is what they will see in their parents. Much of what our children see, know, hear, and understand and experience of God is what we as parents show them. We are the example of God in their lives. We are professing Christians. They are looking to us to be that example. A mother or a father who walks with God and reveals the life of Christ to his or her child is doing the greatest service they can ever render. Walk with God and be an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moms, I want to say to you this morning, may God look upon you with favor as he looked upon Mary. And I believe he will, because of what you already have. If you have that solid foundation, if you have that right perspective, God can say, "I can use you as a mom." And because of what he knows you'll become, because of your love, because of your devotion, and because of your protection. And I want to give thanks this morning for all you moms, but I also want to give thanks for the Lord Jesus, who really, truly makes all of this possible, doesn't he? Because he went to the cross for us so that we could be here today and we could say, "Thank you, moms, and thank you, dads, for what you've done in our lives." Let's pray this morning. Dear Father, I want to thank you for the moms, the grandmothers who are here today. Lord, we want to recognize this day and give them thanks. We want to step back even further and say, God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross made it possible for us to rejoice, for us to have families, for us to have marriages, husbands, wives, children, to know the love, to know the rejoicing. And we recognize that the love, the happiness, the rejoicing, and sometimes even the pain, Lord, the difficult times are just a glimpse of what you went through and of what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior, for being willing to go to the cross for our sake. And Lord, we want to commit this day to you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.